Today is from our second lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. This is God's word. Loved ones, how much? That's what you want to really know, right? You're not dumb. You see the word stewardship when you walk into the church, and you know that someone's about to talk about money. So, Pastor, why don't you just give me the bad news? How much are we short? How much are we going to cut? And how much of my hard-earned money do you want me to give? How much should I fork over? Why don't you just get to it? I'll think about what you have to say, and then just say amen. If that's what you're thinking about stewardship and how we're going to talk today, I hate to disappoint you, but that's not what God is thinking when he talks about stewardship. Stewardship is not about bad news. Stewardship is actually good news. Stewardship begins with the good news that God is not sending you to hell. He has saved you. And what's more, stewardship is the good news that when God saves a person, he changes them. He changes a person from someone who only exists to survive, exists to serve himself, to someone whose purpose in life it is to love God and help everyone he can around him. And there's a more good news. With every blessing that God gives us, he gives us opportunity after opportunity to show our love for him, to show that not only we have a need to love him, but also to fulfill that need by managing our blessings according to his will instead of ours. Stewardship is not about the church's budget and your checkbook. Stewardship is about God's love for you and our response to him. So if you're asking the question, how much, I'm not going to give you a number today. Nor am I going to worm out of giving you a number by having somebody after church give you a number. If you want me to answer that question, how much today, I'm going to ask you another question. And that question is, who are you? Sometimes when a soldier comes back from war, his family and friends will notice that he kind of seems lost. Somebody who they knew before he was sent off as energetic, somebody who had no problem making all of his own decisions, being very decisive, is just sort of apathetic from day to day. Has trouble figuring out what to do, struggles with making very, very simple decisions. The name on his birth certificate hasn't changed. His DNA is the same. But they just wonder where their child, their brother, has gone and who replaced this person that came back to them with a more sullen one. Until he gets around other soldiers, and then all of a sudden his old personality is back, and sometimes the family is even kind of hurt that he's like that around them, but not around him anymore. Or he's like that around his friends, but not around them anymore. And they wonder, when did he become different? And the answer is not always in combat. Sometimes it was already in boot camp. Your identity changes when you become a soldier from somebody who gets to eat what you want and wear what you want and sleep when you want and where you want, work when you want and where you want, to someone who follows orders. Your identity changes from protected to protector. Your identity changes from someone who answers when your name is called to someone who answers when your rank is called. And it's not just true of soldiers. People's identity, who they are, changes with other events in life. People change from healthy to cancer survivor. That changes their identity and how they look at life and what their priorities are. People change from, well, that cute couple to those parents. And their identity changes. What they like to do with their time and how much they have is drastically different. And the biggest identity change we go through is from sinner to saint. It's kind of unfortunate in my mind that this translation of the Bible leaves a word out. The word that it uses here is just off. It says in our very first verse here about the collection for the Lord's people. And actually, it reads about the collection for the holy people. Do you ever think of yourself as holy? Holy. It means set apart. It means different from everyone else in this world. It means someone who thinks in line with what God thinks, instead of what you feel like thinking all the time. And right there you might think, well then I'm disqualified. I'm disqualified from thinking of myself as holy. Because I heard it right in Jesus' words this morning when he said, don't worry about what you eat or drink or wear. And I do all the time. If you thought like God, if you were really holy, would you ever worry when there's a gap between your checkbook and your paycheck? If you thought like God, would you really worry when your kids don't call as often as you're used to them calling? If you were holy, would you worry when the doctor uses those two little words, more tests? Not at all. We wouldn't worry at all. We would trust that God is taking care of things when those things happen to us in life. But as it is, we worry. And that's sin, because the Bible tells us whatever is not faith is sin. And so with just a record of worry, who in the world can call themselves holy? Well, you can, because God does. God calls you holy. Well, God is holy and must punish sin and the sinner, because holiness means you have nothing to do with sin. He simply cannot sit back and do nothing as he sees us worrying ourselves into hell. He has to do something about it, because God just is not just holy. God is love. And because God is love, you are worth a whole lot to him. How much? Well, maybe you memorized it as a kid. His holy, precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. That is how much you are worth to God. You are worth enough to God that he would send his only son to live perfectly for you, to die innocently for you, to rise victoriously for you, and to rule eternally for you. That's how much you're worth to him. Because it's by your connection to Jesus that you are changed from worthless sinner to holy saint in his court and in his heart and in his eyes. By trading his life and his death for you, that's what Jesus did for you. He changed your identity. Your identity is not behavior-based in this world. It is grace-based. Your identity is a person as perfect as Jesus, because that's what he does for those he loves. He changes us to holy. And your identity changes your actions. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Let's go back to the example of a soldier. A soldier's new identity does change his action. Have you ever noticed when a soldier walks into the room, it doesn't take him long to find other soldiers? He's a lot more comfortable talking with them because they share an identity. It also changes how disciplined you are. How many of you have businesses where you've hired soldiers and you notice that they're disciplined and they like things clean? That's part of being a soldier. Your identity changes your actions. And your identity as a holy person changes your actions as well. It means that your first priority in life is going to be acting in line with God's will. Oh, your own will is strong, and it's still there. And it's going to fight with your new identity as God's holy person every single day of your life. But that's what it means to be holy, is never to give up the fight against sin. To say in your heart, I want nothing to do with sin, and I want everything to do with what God's will is. So will your morning start with a cup of coffee and checking your inbox and looking over your newspaper, or will your morning start with your cup of coffee and reading a few verses in your Bible or a chapter? And prayer, and then your inbox and your newspaper. Will every weekend include worship, not just when it's convenient for you? Or will you say, that is what I look forward to most? Will your time with your family be spent doing whatever is fun, or will be spent fostering their faith and then doing what's fun as you pray together, as you read God's word together, and yes, as you worship together? And when it comes to your money, of course we're going to talk about money when it comes to stewardship because it's a part of our everyday life. Will your first priority be something in this world, or will it be God's kingdom and his righteousness? Will it be the spread of God's gospel? I've told a few of you this story, but it's a good one. I think more people should hear it. There's a pastor of whom I know who just absolutely loved music and really promoted it in his church and was really good at it. Their music program just grew by leaps and bounds when he was there. And they didn't have a very good piano in their sanctuary. But he made it clear that he was hoping for one. And one day, there was a lady who was a piano teacher in their congregation. And she approached him and said, you know, I've been teaching lessons for years, and we've got this great piano I've been teaching on. It's in tune, it's in great shape, and we'd like the church to have it because we're going to replace that piano in our home with a new one. And we want the church to have this really good piano. I know you've been wanting one for a long time, Pastor. And the pastor thought for a moment, and he looked at her, and he said, no, thank you. I think the Lord will take your new one. And he did. He knew this woman to be a woman of strong faith who wanted to be holy, and he wanted to get this point across to her that God's holy people put him and his gospel first. He didn't make her, he didn't force her, he didn't guilt her into it, but he didn't make her think. And she did. And it wasn't all of their income that went to this new piano, or even the majority of it. It wasn't the biggest part, but it was their first and it was their best. So I suppose I can give you a number if you ask the question, how much? That number is one. Stewardship is about God's one and only Son who gave himself for you. It's about one. Stewardship is about each one of God's holy people offering up his whole life. Every single decision, every single relationship, every single moment, every single penny in service to God who made you holy. How much? As much as the Lord moves God's holy people to give. This is God's word.